My brothers, on this episode, I'm going to show you how to keep your mind strong when your body is breaking down, how to find meaning in your suffering instead of letting it destroy you, how to reframe your pain through the lens of eternity, and how to keep climbing when everything in you wants to quit. This isn't motivational fluff. This is battle-tested biblical truth. So if you're in the middle of a storm, stay with me. This episode could change not only how you walk through it, but how you come out on the other side of it. So here we go.
Oh yeah, y'all know what time it is. You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, Jason George.
Get him, Jay.
So last week, I came on the show and I gave you guys a life and ministry update. Some good news, sharing with you many of the improvements I've experienced in my life lately, specifically with my health. And I told you that I'm committed to dropping a new podcast episode every Tuesday, even if I'm feeling rough with all of my health issues. Well, guess what? You guessed it. I'm feeling rough, very rough. You may hear it in my voice. And typically, I wouldn't even podcast if I'm feeling like this. Here's what happened. After I finished recording last week's episode on Monday afternoon, I went to the gym and I did 5 miles on the stationary bike. You know, nothing intense. Then about 40 minutes of an arm workout. Nothing intense. I felt pretty good. Later that night, I started feeling a bit off, but I still led my Monday night recovery group. But when I woke up Tuesday morning, I realized immediately, oh no, here it is, I'm in a Babesia flare-up. Babesia is one of the tick infections I battle along with Lyme disease, if you're new to the show and you didn't know that. And dude, when it hits, you feel like death. I'm talking headache, brain fog, chest pains, cough, chills, muscle twitching, nausea, loss of appetite, an increase in anxiety, and just an overall yuck feeling with no energy, like the worst flu you've ever had. As I record this episode, I'm on day 8 of this latest flare-up. And sometimes I get small windows of relief where my symptoms aren't as intense, and that's when I try to get some work done. During a flare, I have to rest more than I want to. I also have to detox, pray, and be very careful and intentional with my mental self-talk, because the mental battle is no joke. That is really where the battle is won or lost, in your mind. When all the toxins are circulating in my bloodstream and brain, my nervous system naturally goes into fight or flight mode. It thinks I'm in danger and that it needs to alert me and protect me. Your thoughts can go dark, negative, fearful. It completely messes with the biological chemicals that normally keep you calm and regulated. So I have to constantly speak truth to myself during these flares and just remind myself, Jason, this is all part of the healing journey. You're on some powerful meds to kill these nasty infections inside of you. You have to go through this. This is what everyone else who has treated these infections has gone through. They've told you how miserable it can be. You have felt all of this before and you know it will pass. It always passes. So let go, accept, surrender. Don't fight it. Don't fret. Just observe it and let it do its worst. You are safe in God's hands. God is with you, Jason. That's how I talk to myself. Then I'll quote some of my favorite scriptures. This is the mental battle I often go through when things are flaring really bad. Sometimes I'm literally laying on my bathroom floor going through all of this while doing a detox procedure, which I'll spare you the details of. I just lay there and I pray and I remind myself like of all these truths. If I don't get control of the stinking thinking in my head during these flare-ups, I spiral. Dude, it can break you. There are no words that can adequately describe how miserable chronic tick infections can be. And yes, as I said last week, I've been making improvements, but this is part of the healing journey with the meds I'm on. There are no quick fixes, no shortcuts. It's a long, agonizing climb full of highs and lows. For me, this past week, there have been no hikes with Ike, no gym workouts, no pickleball with the old folks in town. I missed church on Sunday, other than watching it online. I missed going to the gun range with a buddy. I missed going out to eat with a friend. You know, I've just been working when I can, leading my meetings and doing some walks in the neighborhood with Ike. But it's okay. I'll get back at it. I'm still blessed, and God is still good, no matter what. You know, this past week, in the midst of my suffering, I reminded myself that my suffering is really nothing in the big picture of eternity. It really isn't. It's just a blip on the radar. I reminded myself of what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:17. I wrote this out in my journal because I needed to just see it again and again. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Dude, what a great verse for those of us going through pain, suffering, loss, grief, hardship. With that verse, I want you to notice something important. Paul isn't minimizing the pain he's going through, and he's not minimizing your pain either. He's simply reframing it with the big picture of eternity. And that's exactly what we must do, my brothers. Let me say it again. Paul isn't minimizing the pain he's going through or the pain you're going through. He's simply reframing it with the big picture of eternity. The afflictions he was facing, dude, they were real. They were heavy. So are mine. So are yours. But compared to what God is producing and where this story of ours is going, they are momentary. Our suffering, our pain, blips on the radar. We must always remember that as believers in Christ, our suffering has an expiration date. But the glory and rewards on the other side do not. So I keep climbing, one foot in front of the other. Never quit. I remind myself the Navy SEAL motto, the only easy day was yesterday. You know, it always seems impossible until it's done. My brothers, never quit. And I told you guys on the last episode that one of the ways I find perspective, hope, and strength in my pain and suffering is by looking at the lives of others who've endured great pain and suffering. And one of those people is Viktor Frankl. Frankl lived from 1905 to 1997. He was an Austrian psychiatrist, Holocaust survivor, and the founder of logotherapy, a form of psychotherapy centered on the search for meaning. He survived 4 Nazi concentration camps, including Auschwitz. And his firsthand experience in those camps shaped his core belief, which says, life is about meaning. And even in suffering, life still has meaning. Let me say that again. Life is about meaning. And even in suffering, life still has meaning. Frankl taught that humans are driven not primarily by pleasure, as Freud taught, nor by power, as Adler taught, but by the will to meaning. He observed in the concentration camps that when prisoners lost a sense of meaning, they experienced what he called an existential vacuum, a deep inner emptiness that leads to despair, addiction, depression, and apathy. Let me say that again. He observed in the concentration camps that when prisoners lost a sense of meaning, they began to experience a deep inner emptiness that leads to despair, addiction, depression, and apathy. His book, Man's Search for Meaning, is one I often return to, as I did this past week, to find perspective on my own pain and suffering. The book has sold over 16 million copies and is considered one of the most influential books of the 20th century. Here are the core ideas from the book. Number one, meaning is available in every moment of life. Number two, suffering can be transformed into purpose. Number three, we always retain the freedom to choose our response and attitude. Number four, responsibility is the essence of human existence. That's some good stuff right there. One night this past week, after reviewing some of the highlighted portions of my copy of his book, I wrote the following in my journal. Jason, you must find meaning in your suffering. If you do, it will make you. If you do not, it will break you. View all of it as a test, a challenge, a refining, a necessary preparation for the things to come. Let me read for you two of the highlighted passages I read that night from his book that impacted me. Frankl writes, "Most men in a concentration camp believed that the real opportunities of life had passed. Yet, in reality, there was an opportunity and a challenge. One could make a victory of those experiences, turning life into an inner triumph, or one could ignore the challenge and simply vegetate, as did a majority of the prisoners." Did you catch that? Many guys in the concentration camps, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see that there was an opportunity and a challenge to be grasped. And you could make a victory of those experiences. The choice was yours. Frankl observed that many in the camps believed all the real opportunities of life had already passed them by, but not Frankl. He didn't believe that. Here's another epic quote I highlighted. "Any attempt at fighting the camp's psychopathological influence on the prisoner by psychotherapeutic or psychohygienic methods had to aim at giving him inner strength by pointing out to him a future goal to which he could look forward. Instinctively, some of the prisoners attempted to find one on their own. It is the peculiarity of man that he can only live in the present by looking to the future." Then he writes this Latin phrase that I'm going to jack up here. Sub specie aeternitatis. Aeternitatis. Okay. Which means from the perspective of eternity. He goes on and he writes, "And that is his salvation in the most difficult moments of his existence, although he sometimes has to force his mind to the task." What is his salvation? To view things from the perspective of eternity, to zoom out and see the big picture. It's so good. That's exactly what I've been trying to do. You have to get control of your stinking thinking, forcing my mind to the task like Frankl talks about. This is what Frankl did for himself when he was in the concentration camps. On his hardest and darkest days, he would envision himself in the future, lecturing to a group of college students in a warm, comfortable classroom about his experiences in the concentration camps and all that he learned. The essence of what Frankl is saying here lines up perfectly with what Scripture teaches about how believers in Christ must view their temporary life and suffering in this world. Dude, remember James chapter 1? about looking at trials as something good and joyful because it's the testing of your faith. Remember when Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and to endure suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? What's he saying there? He's saying, Timothy, it's a challenge. It's a war. Embrace it. Don't complain about it. Remember when Peter said that our suffering refines us like gold in a fire? So much of what Frankl is saying is exactly what Scripture has been teaching us all along. I also love that part about pointing men beyond their present suffering to a future goal they could look forward to. Again, he uses the Latin phrase, subspecies aeternitatis. It means from the perspective of eternity. Dude, I don't speak Latin. It's a hard word to say. Dude, to view our lives from the perspective of eternity is to step back and see the big picture of our story and where all of this is leading. That is so biblical. If anyone should be buying into what Frankl is saying here, it's believers in Christ. Because these truths didn't originate with Frankl. They originated with God. My brothers, this is exactly what our Lord and Savior did in order to endure the agony of the cross. He viewed it all from the perspective of eternity. Subspecies aeternitatis. He saw the big picture. He kept his mind on the future prize. Listen to Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see it? Jesus was able to endure the agony of the cross because he was focused on the joy ahead in eternity. He saw what his death would accomplish for all of us who believe. That's what he kept his mind on. The forgiveness, the reconciliation with God, freedom, healing, transformation, eternal life, a new heaven, and a new earth. Jesus was able to endure the agony of the cross because he was focused on that, the joy ahead in eternity. My brothers, Jesus focused on what mattered most, the future, and it pulled him through the agony of his present suffering. We must do the same. Frankl said, he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. That's originally a Nietzsche quote, and I don't like Nietzsche, but it's true. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. That why is your meaning, your purpose. You have to find that in the midst of your pain and suffering. You have a why to live, so do I. But to see it, you have to zoom out and see the big picture of eternity and realize how small and temporary your pain and suffering truly is. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was getting at with the verse I shared earlier, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's a big picture mindset. Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's a big picture mindset. So yeah, the last 8 days for me have been rough. But I'm not the only one. I realize that. I have friends battling cancer that's all throughout their bodies. Friends that are recovering from major surgeries. Friends going through brutal withdrawal from benzodiazepines. Friends battling anxiety, panic, depression. I talked to some of them this week. So yeah, I'm hurting. But I'm not alone. And the only reason I have real empathy for them, let's be honest, it's because I know what it's like to suffer greatly. And that has made me valuable to others who are suffering greatly. The same can be true of you. So keep climbing, my brothers. Don't quit. It's always too soon to quit. Keep looking up. Keep your eyes on the prize. We're just passing through. This life is temporary. Your pain has a purpose. Someone else is going to need your story. They need you to hang on and keep fighting the fight, even when it feels impossible. This reminds me of what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You may not see it now, but your wounds are becoming wells for others. Wells where they can find relief, hope, and strength. You got to hang on, my brothers. Don't quit. Don't freaking quit. Your pain, my pain, it has a purpose. You got to find it. You got to live it. Hey guys, if you enjoyed this episode, hit that subscribe button and leave us a quick rating and review and share this episode with a friend. If you're interested in doing some one-on-one coaching with me or joining one of our online men's recovery and discipleship groups, they're called Climb Teams, you know, to help you with your struggles with lust, pornography, other addictions, go to our website and fill out the application or reach out to me, jason@narrowtrail.com. And would you consider becoming a monthly supporter of our nonprofit ministry for just $25 per month? The support of our listeners is what keeps this podcast running ad-free and what also keeps our cost of one-on-one coaching and Climb Teams so affordable for the hardworking middle-class brother. Go to narrowtrail.com, click on our give page to set that up. I promise it's safe, it's secure, it's easy, and you can cancel at any time if you need to. And we will always send you a record of your giving for tax purposes. Thank you to all of you who do more than consume this show. You contribute and help make it possible. Also, there's an Amazon link in the show notes for you to order yourself a copy of Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, one of the best books I've ever read. Lord willing, I'll be back at you guys next Tuesday with another fresh, hot episode of the Grizz Podcast. Thanks for listening. Grizz is out.